For the record, this is was pre-recorded in the virtual sanctuary. It's my meditation on the scripture, Luke 4, 21 to 30, entitled Filled with Rage. So wow, there's a lot going on in our gospel passage. For one thing, the people of his hometown want to hurl Jesus off a cliff. But he passed through their midst and went on his way. One writer, I don't recall who, imagines Jesus in the midst of this big mob. And as the crowd surges around him, jostling him, Jesus takes a step back, then a step to the side, a step back, a step to the side, and so on, until they have passed right by him, yelling and screaming, and he simply turns and moves on. But why are they so ticked off? Because after Jesus speaks in the temple, everyone thinks he did great. They're complimenting him. But he's like, not so fast. You think I'm here just for you? You're the ones I was sent to help? And he reminds them of two Bible stories they would have known, two instances when God chose to help foreigners, to help outsiders, both male and female, rather than the chosen people. The prophet Elijah, who could have fed a lot of hungry Hebrew people, but only came to the aid of a Gentile woman. And Elisha, well, there were a lot of people suffering from all sorts of things, but this prophet chose to help heal only one person, a Syrian army officer, no less. But I'm not so interested this time around in Jesus' escape from the mob. I'm not so interested in what he said to them, because this time, in the year of our Lord, the year of the common era, 2022, this is what I get stuck on. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. You know, I used to picture that crowd of enraged people as something out of one of those old 1930s Frankenstein movies, gathering by torchlight and shouting, "Kill the monster!" Scary, but in a safe, cinematic kind of way. This time, maybe because we just marked the first anniversary of January 6, 2021, this is how I pictured that. Like that mob attacking our nation's capital a little over a year ago. Like people protesting against vaccines and mask mandates. Talk about filled with rage. But enraged mobs are nothing new. The faces of these white people during the civil rights movement, these anti-integrationists, are horrifying. It's amazing how ugly anger can make us. Perhaps because it so distorts the image of God in us. But anger, rage isn't just for right wingers. Now, I'm not in this photo of angry women in pink knitted hats, but I could have been. Oh, wait, I was. And though, okay, I look more tired than angry here, having gotten up at 4 in the morning, what got me up was anger. Anger. Rage is probably what got these folks here into the streets, these Black Lives Matter protesters. And I guess this fellow, so I'm not sure what he's angry about, And what about this guy? Recognize him? Jesus in the temple overturning tables? Now, I think this picture of the event is revealing. Here, Jesus has a whip in his hand, and the people around him look frightened. Oh, there's definitely anger here. I get angry too. Oftentimes, I vent my anger on people who have nothing to do with its cause. Like the bus driver I yelled at last week as he closed the bus door in my face and drove off, causing me to yell the very pastoral, seriously, dude? Yes, it was annoying that I missed the bus, but there would be another. I was angry because I was tired. Running late? Angry because three people close to me died recently? One at the blessed age of 90, but still a friend of 50 years. Another, a friend of 30 years, and only 60 years old, which is now young to me. And he was my doctor. He wasn't supposed to go first. And another, my BFF's brother died at 81, not bad, but he was unvaccinated and dead a mere 2 weeks after getting COVID. I'm mad at him for causing my friend such pain. I'm mad at my doctor for leaving me. But you can't be mad at people for dying, right? Better to stand in the street and curse out bus drivers. And I'm mad at the Supreme Court and lawmakers in Texas and Kansas and everyone who thinks it's their right to force women to carry pregnancies to term, no matter the physical and psychological cost to the woman. I'm angry about gun violence and the destruction of voter rights. Yeah, I'm not just annoyed. I'm angry on a personal level, a societal level, a spiritual level. What am I supposed to do with all that anger? So here's a short selection of scripture verses. I mean, there is a lot in the Bible about anger. And they clue us that generally, when people get consumed with anger, they get out of control. They get ugly and mean. Anger, left to itself, given its druthers, given into, it leads us to horrible things. It leads us to all sorts of places we don't want to go. But anger is energy. I think Jesus knew that. And energy, like money, is neutral. It's what we do with it, how we use it, that makes the difference. Now, I think Jesus got angry, and not just when he saw the temple money changers making a mockery of God's house. I think Jesus got angry when he saw people being mistreated and suffering needlessly and being excluded and oppressed. Anger can be good. It can motivate us, energize us to act positively. Or it can lead to destruction. As followers of Jesus, we can learn from him, from what he did with his anger, how he used it, how it motivated him. You know, for one thing, Jesus didn't express his rage indiscriminately. Now, sure, cleansing the temple wasn't exactly a peaceful protest, but it can be seen as a targeted, strategic act of civil disobedience. It wasn't directed against people, but an unjust system. And actually, only one of the four Gospels mentions that whip. And the whip was specifically said to be used to drive out sheep and cattle, not to actually harm any living creature. And Jesus, like his later follower, Martin Luther King, Jesus was willing to pay the price for his actions. Now, that's a basic principle of civil disobedience. You don't try to evade responsibility for your actions. Jesus' actions eventually got him killed. He was willing to pay the price for seeking justice for all people. You know, I know a couple of weeks ago I talked about Jesus's joy, and now I'm talking about his anger, but I don't think they're mutually exclusive. Because yes, anger can lead to violence and destruction and death. But this is also what it can lead us to. This is a peaceful but powerful protest, a die-in after the police killing of Philando Castile. Now, well before that, the suffragists channeled their rage and won the vote for women, at least in name. Gandhi's Salt March began the successful and peaceful struggle for Indian independence. Cesar Chavez, seen here with Coretta Scott King, he and the farm workers started boycotts that led to better working conditions. Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King turned their anger into the Montgomery bus boycott. And I think this church will especially like this. The people of Estonia sang their way to freedom, using festivals and concerts into a national protests against the Soviet regime. The letter to the Ephesians says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. We all get angry. We should get angry sometimes, not when we miss the bus. So we need to recognize our anger for what it is, what its causes are, and to resist the temptation to let it carry us along in its dangerous wake. There's plenty to be angry about. There's more than enough rage in the world today. But we shouldn't let it scare us. And we shouldn't take our anger out on one another. Oh, your anger, your angry energy may not lead you to the streets to protest or to volunteer with an organization. It may lead you to study and prayer, to deeper understanding, to forgiveness. One thing is for sure. We can let our anger rule us, or we can rule our anger. We can channel it and harness it and let it lead us towards a brighter, better world. And for those who will not join us, those who can only express their anger through violence and hatred and the grasping for power, surrounded by all that rage, we can just take a step back, then a step to the side, another step back, a step to the side, and so on, until all those raging people had passed us right by, yelling and screaming. And we simply turn and move on. Thanks be to God. Amen.